This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, the Ingles dietitian, and today we're going to be sort of doing a virtual walk into a farming field, and we're going to be talking to somebody whose job revolves around talking to farmers, auditing fields, inspecting farms to make sure the food that is coming out of farms is as safe as possible for you and your family, and is safe when we get it into the store. So joining me by phone is James Cooper. So hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Leah?
Good. So tell everybody what your title is.
My title is, I'm with the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association, and I'm the local produce food safety coordinator covering mainly North Carolina and South Carolina.
Wow, that's a big territory, James. So do you just basically spend most of your time in your car?
I try not to, but it's travel once a week at least.
Okay. So is this, now we're recording this in the wintertime. It's still winter, even though it's been unseasonably warm. So is this a less busy time of year for you?
Well, that's a good question, Leah. Actually, now is a good time when the farmer has a little bit of downtime to kind of to start to create a food safety plan versus doing it in the middle of harvest season.
Sure.
So, now I, really start to work with a lot of farmers, going through training workshops, coming on farm, doing risk assessments, and just kind of helping them start to think about what a food safety plan looks like for their farm.
So I know one of the things that you particularly do, James, is what's called GAP or GAPS. Can you explain to the listeners what that is and what that entails?
Yeah, so GAP is, it's good agriculture practices. So it's basically, GAPS are guidance that produce growers can use to prevent on-farm contamination of fruit and vegetables. So it was developed by the USDA in 1985, and its main focus is on prevention of contamination rather than remediation. So we want to try to do as much possible things to prevent versus having to go back once there's already an issue. And so you look at, in the fresh fruit and produce industry, it's one of the only ag commodities that doesn't have a kill step.
What does that mean?
If you're in the dairy industry, it goes through a process, where they heat it up. If you're
pasteurization,
in the meat
industry, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So produce it's fresh, it's alive, so it has a high risk.
And so I know that the GAPS or good agricultural practices is a voluntary program for farmers, right?
It has been voluntary, but as you're starting to see now, more and more wholesale buyers are starting to require it.
I know that we do at Ingles. We require that of our new produce that they all be performing, use GAP and have a GAPS audits done. So you actually are the person that does the audits, right?
I'm not so much the person that does the audit. I'm the person that goes and works with the farmer. And so that they're able to pass an audit.
I see.
So I'm kind of the middle person. So I work with the grower, get them ready, train them, teach them, go on farm, do risk assessment, so forth, figure out what they need to change. And then we contract, who's going to do the audit, whether it's the USDA or a third party or so forth.
So why is something like GAP important? Why is it important for the farmer, first of all?
Well, I think it's important for the farmer, the wholesaler, the retailer, and the consumer.
Okay, well, let's start with the farmer. Why is it important for them to have GAP, or why is it something that they should want to do?
Well, it's kind of like they're protecting their product.
Okay.
So they're doing everything possible that they're able to, and even though farming works in a natural system and we can't control everything. But, they're able to go in and look at, okay, so what's my water source? What's my water quality? Do I have generic E. coli in there? My policy with my traceability, what kind of fertility am I using? Am I using manure, compost, soil amendment, so forth? So it really, the farmer is able to go in and create a food safety program that basically protects the grower. You okay. know, and again, you know, kind of the consumer has more confidence.
Okay. So we want to make sure that if you're listening, that if you want to find out more information about what GAP is, Good Agricultural Practices, where I'm looking right now is James. I'm talking to James Cooper, who's with the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association, is the USDA's website, and it's so it's their agricultural marketing service. So it's the USDA.gov, and you put in GAP or Good Agricultural Practices, you would find out a lot of information. On this. So James, since you are in North Carolina and South Carolina, if there's a farmer who is looking to sell to a retailer like Ingles but knows that they're going to have to go through implementing GAP, how do they get in touch with you? How do they reach you?
Well, they can go online to www.carolinafarmstewards.org.
Okay.
And have a direct link. They can call the office at 919-542-2402.
Okay. And then, so what's their next step? Their next step is for you to come out and meet them and tour their farm?
Yeah, so the first step would be to, you know, put in an application, and then we would discuss kind of what's going on, what their needs are, how immediate they're needing to. If, you know, some growers contact me and all of a sudden they have a new buyer, let's say it's Ingles, and they've never been GAP certified, but they have a greenhouse full of tomatoes. Well, they're in a pretty strong need to get that right away so they can
sure.
start selling to you.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, you know, first step is to figure out, assess what their situation is, and then set up a one-on-one consultation and go to the farm.
So how long does it take for someone to become GAP certified?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of myths with GAP that it's so expensive and that it takes a long time. Those are not true.
Okay.
It depends on how quick the farmer and organized the farmer is and how fast they want to move forward. So, you know, I've been able to get a farmer GAP certified within 3 to 4 weeks, and some take 6 months.
Okay.
It just depends. And so
it's just best to start off just by submitting that application and making some contact calls. Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. We're talking with James Cooper about GAP, which is a Good Agricultural Practices. We're going to find out more about why this is so important for farmers, for retailers, and for consumers, and what it means on the farm. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. I'm talking with James Cooper, and he works with the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association Farm Stewards or Farm Stewardship, James?
Farm Stewardship.
Okay, I had it right. Farm Stewardship Association. And he does GAP certification. He helps farmers get set up with GAP, which is Good Agricultural Practices, because many retailers like Ingles require GAP certification. And so James has been telling us a little bit about the process, how a farmer, if they're interested in selling to a retailer, can get started. So James, what are some of, you mentioned briefly water quality. So what are some of the other hallmarks of being able to be GAP certified, and like, what besides water quality, or what do you mean by water quality?
Well, with water quality, we look at, you know, if you're irrigating your product, where is that water coming from?
Okay.
Is it coming from, you know, your lowest risk would be, you know, municipal, and then your highest risk would be an open pond, you know, kind of creek.
Okay.
So, you know, and majority, you know, so a lot of farmers, they have capped wells, and that's a low risk as well. So we're looking at where is, you know, your water quality, you know, where is your water source for irrigation, but then also for post-harvest.
Okay.
So if you're washing your product, where does that water quality come from?
Okay. And then what are some, do you look at things like, it looks at things like pesticide handling, and people have to be certified as pesticide applicators, right?
Yes, definitely. And anyone on the farm who is spraying has to go through the certification. Other things we look at is kind of land history, like what was, you know, what has the land been used for the past 5 years?
Uh-huh.
And we look at, like, worker health and hygiene.
Okay.
Like, you know, have your employees properly been trained, you know, on basics to wear clean clothes to work, to make sure they're washing their hands after they eat, after they use the restroom. Do your employees have access to bathrooms? Okay. Do they have access to, you know, hand sanitation stations? These are all very basics, but you'd be surprised that a lot of farms don't have that.
Right.
You know, we look at livestock. You know, if you're farming vegetables and you have pigs and the pigs are up above the vegetable ground, then you're going to have runoff issues.
Okay.
So we kind of look at that, and we look at cross-contamination between those two and so forth.
Now, one of the things I think when I've been out to farms is what I've heard from farmers is now with the use of GAPS, they're able to actually, you can actually trace back produce from the field and sometimes even the row where it's grown, and that's part of the component of food safety. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, you said that very well. Traceability. So we want to be able to trace the product back one step where it came from and then forward where it goes to.
Okay.
So say in Ingalls, you know, I'm a farmer and I sold you some tomatoes and, you know, you had a lot of complaints, so they got some people sick. So the farmer, you would come to me and say, okay, I bought these from you. And then I would say, okay, well, this is where they came from in my field. So if I know specifically, then I can isolate that crop.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then we can take care of that. So
how many, like in North Carolina and South Carolina, how many farmers do you know, or can you tell me how many farmers are GAPS certified?
I couldn't tell you up to date right now, but I would easily say between probably 300 to 400.
Wow.
So, and in fact, you know, North Carolina is quite progressive in agriculture and especially in the food safety aspect. I mean, I think I've heard numbers like Virginia had like 8 farmers and Tennessee had like 3, like, you know, just with, you know, organizations like CFSA and, you know, Department of Agriculture and NC State. I mean, we, NCGT and so forth, we have a lot of focus and energy on working with growers, you know, to create and implement food safety programs.
So, James, does a farmer have to be of a certain size to become GAPS certified, or is it kind of like, is there kind of a point at which it doesn't make sense financially or time-wise or paperwork-wise?
Yeah, those are good questions. So, no, it's not size restrictions at all. And so it's more, you know, first off, I think any farm should implement a food safety plan.
Sure.
Whether you get GAP certified or not is up to your market and financials. So I think it's just good to have a food safety plan on farm for anyone. But then you look at, okay, so an audit, you know, usually is going to cost between $900 and $1,200. That's going to be an annual fee. So is that cost, you know, economically feasible for what your crop has in your wholesale market?
Okay. There might be, if you're a very small farmer and you're not planning on selling to retail, maybe you don't do GAP, but like you said, maybe there's a food safety plan anyway, because you are still selling to the public, right?
Exactly. So that's why I think, you know, anything that leaves the farm, you know, I think you should implement a food safety plan on that product.
So I want to come back to pesticides for a minute, because, you know, James, that's one of the biggest questions, most frequent questions I get, that consumers have this, are often really scared because they think or they hear things that farmers are drenching, dousing, covering, coating their fruits and vegetables with pesticides. As somebody who's on farms all the time, and how would you respond to that? What would you say?
I think that's a myth. I mean, I've farmed for 18 years, fruit and vegetables all around the world, and, you know, both conventional and organic. And I've never personally or never met a farmer who wants to spray more than they have to because it costs them money.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and you have a risk. And so it's, you know, I think that's a very old mentality. That's not true. That's definitely kind of disappeared for sure. So, I mean, a farmer only sprays when they have to.
And I think you brought up a really good point, because, you know, I would say exactly the same thing, James. I've never talked to a farmer who hasn't said to me, if I don't have to spray, I won't spray. You know, it's not like it's because it costs, it's time and money. And so, you know, the sort of fear that people have about fruits and vegetables and hearing things like their farmers are drenching or dousing or coating with pesticides is something that we just really need to put to rest. I want to make sure again that we mention, if you have questions about what GAP is, good agricultural practices, you can go to the USDA.gov website, or you can also, as James mentioned, go to the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association website and find out more information there. Stay tuned. We're talking with James Cooper about GAP certification. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingalls dietitian. I'm talking with James Cooper. He is with the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association, and he helps farmers implement what's called GAP, or good agricultural practices. And he's been telling us a little bit about some of the food, how important this is for food safety, and what he helps farmers identify and put into practice so that they can be GAP certified and then go through a GAP audit. So, James, now we were talking before we came on the air that you do work with some organic farmers, and organic farming has a whole different certification process through the USDA to become USDA certified organic. Do some of those organic farmers, are they also GAP certified, and why would they need to be GAP certified?
Well, you know, organic certification and practices does have some overlapping with GAPs, but they're two separate audits.
Okay.
So, you know, you could be I do work with organic and conventional, but, you know, just because you are a certified organic does not mean you're also have a, you know, GAP certification as well. You still have to go through the same process that any other farmer would.
Okay. So it doesn't, like, GAPs doesn't, organic doesn't supersede GAPs. Like, you know, if I have GAPs, you can't, or if I have organic, I can't say, well, I don't need GAPs because I have organic and that's just better. It's not, it doesn't work that way.
Not at all. Yeah, completely two separate, yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, is there anything in GAPs about, like, soil health? I mean, we talked about water and pesticide use and handling with traceability. Is there anything about soil quality as part of GAPs?
Well, yeah. So, you know, with fertility, we want to look at, are you using, you know, raw manures?
Oh,
okay. Are you on-farm composting, or are you using synthetic fertilizers?
Okay.
So with all of those, we want to know, where does that product come from, and documentation of when it is applied and how much is applied per acre. So, and then we also want to look at, you know, the storage of all those products to make sure that there's no leaching out onto fields and so forth.
Is there a component of that that's like that you would actually test the soil for soil health? Because I know sometimes in farms that will send away soil samples to, like, state labs and stuff to check on nutrient levels. Is that a component of GAPs too?
That's only a component of GAPs if there's a risk situation where we think there's a past history that there could be some contamination.
Ah, okay.
But regardless of that, I think it's good to implement, you know, twice a year minimum soil samples.
Okay.
Just to know what is going on with your soil.
Okay. So, so we talked about why this is important for the farmer. Like, as a consumer, what should they know? Like, there's no way of telling on a product if it's been GAP certified, right?
No, there actually is not. So, but what the consumer could do, though, is could have a relationship with, you know, let's take Ingalls, the produce manager there, and say, okay, what is your food safety policy for all your products? And you say, okay, well, we would not buy anything unless it's GAP certified.
Okay. So that would be, and could you ask that same question if you went to your farmer's market?
You could. And so, but majority of your farmer's markets, farmers are probably not going to be GAP certified.
Because they're probably a smaller operation, things like that.
Well, they're smaller, but also because then no one has mandatory asked them to be. I think over the next 5 years, you're going to start to see more farmers markets where the management is going to implement at least having to have a food safety plan. But until you see that, you are going to see that the farmers market growers comply to that.
Okay. So when you go out to a farm, James, kind of walk me through, like, if you were to go to a brand new farm, what are some of the things that you are looking for or doing when you first make that first farm visit?
Well, I kind of want to know the farmer's story, you know, first off, like, what's going on? What's their past? What's their plans for the future? What's their style of growing and so forth? But then, so I kind of do a walkthrough, you know, just kind of do a risk assessment. I mean, you know, I'm looking at, you know, like I said earlier, like, what was the history of the land? I look at their employees. I talk to them, you know, have they had any sort of training? You know, do they have access to restroom facilities? Is there any sort of sewage contamination that could be around there? I look at, you know, again, their water quality, the water sources, where is it coming from? I look at the animal, the livestock, you know, if there's, you know, mixed operation, is there a source of contamination there? And then we look at the fertility, like you said. And then we look at equipment and containers.
Okay.
You know, I mean, what do they have? You know, that's a source of contamination. I mean, their harvest tools, their harvest containers, their transportation. You know, what is that like? Do they have any implementation of cleaning and sanitation, you know, in those or not? So I look at those are kind of the biggest walkthrough. And then we look at traceability, like you asked about earlier. So are they, you know, a majority of them do not have a traceability plan yet and need to implement one. Those are kind of the pillars when I do a walkthrough, and then we kind of go from there.
Now, are we talking, is that a day, several days, a couple few hours? How long does that something like that take you, that first visit?
Depends on the size of the operation, but usually no more than a couple hours.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So James, do you think someday some of your work is going to be replaced by a drone?
I've never thought about that, Leah. I hope not.
No, but I mean to help you, like, you know, that visual overview, not to replace you personally, James.
True. What? You know, I've never thought. I guess it could. Yeah, I guess it could service more farms.
Yeah.
You know, so more efficiently for sure.
Yeah. Just keep that in mind, James.
Okay.
So, folks, I've been talking with James Cooper, who's with Carolina Farm Stewardship Association. James, do you want to go ahead and give that email, the website for Carolina Farm Stewardship Association again?
Yeah. www.carolinafarmstewards.org.
And you can also find information about GAP, which is Good Agricultural Practices, at the USDA's website. This will tell you, whether you're a farmer or consumer, a little bit more about what those good agricultural practices are, why they're important for farmers and consumers and retailers, and why that's something that we at Ingalls really have as a pillar for our farmers, to make sure that we're providing our consumers, our customers, the safest possible fruits and vegetables. James, thanks so much for joining us on the Ingalls Information Aisle.
Thanks, Leah.